to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, where we're dedicated to awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. You know, often when we get inspired by someone, we come to a conclusion, such as, well, if I had that kind of financial support from my parents, I would have a huge pile of money like she did. Well, people usually think other people have it better than they had it, which explains their better fortune. But what if someone who had way worse fortune than most people and yet ends up having a better fortune? What do we say then? Today, I'm talking with Lisa Kazza, who came through a childhood of violence and sexual abuse, went through a marriage filled with violence and sexual abuse, and still went on to earn a degree in social work, raise 5 children, marry the love of her life, and develop herself as a psychic and spiritual person, a psychic medium. We're talking today about finding paradise after the storm. Please post your comments and questions on our blogs. You can find them on emotionalpro.com and on blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. You can also talk directly with Lisa or me on our toll-free number, 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. And you can sign up for Full Power Living's broadcast through subscription on iTunes. Well, Lisa Kazza can be found at lisakazza.com. That's L-I-S-A-C-A-Z-A. She's been a professional clairvoyant medium for 20 years. She's world-renowned for her honest, sometimes even blunt, clairvoyant readings. I fit in that category too, Lisa, just for your information. But at the same time, her in-depth and accurate services are always full of love, wisdom, and compassion for each of her clients, and I fit there too. She's appeared on numerous popular psychic websites like Mystic Playground, Psychic Link, Psychic Contact, and Global Psychics. She's made numerous appearances on many talk shows, radio talk shows. And her mediumship abilities are so unique that spirits seek her out, and she's left with the detective work of having to figure out who the spirits are reaching out to. So, Lisa Kazza, welcome to Full Power Living.
Hi, Eileen. Thank you so much for having me. It's a great honor.
Likewise. Thank you. Now, you wrote your book, Finding Paradise After the Storm. You wrote it because your guides and a few other people told you to. And you say your mission is to guide others out of situations of abuse and into relationships that feed their hearts and souls. Tell us about how you got into writing your book.
Well, it actually took me a number of years to even decide to write it because while the of course, fear. Fear always is it's the biggest block to a lot of our success. And so it took me a long time to even let myself even start on it. But over and over, I've seen, you know, through my readings, a lot of people having so many problems with relationships. Relationships is a big concern in my line of work. And, you know, a lot of healing problems, not being able to let go of the past, for example, and past experiences, past hurts. And as a result, 9 times out of 10, what tends to happen is that the new relationships that people get into tend to blow up in their faces because
I was going to say, yes, we have a tendency to repeat the same patterns over and over again.
Exactly.
In my experience. Yeah.
Exactly. So I try to break those patterns or at least show them how to break those patterns for themselves, because ultimately speaking, you know, no one can help us other than ourselves, right? So so that's ultimately what led me to writing the book, because I figured, you know, people are having so many problems and yearning for that unconditional love and not being able to find it. Like they're stuck in a rut, just like a truck in the mud. And I felt, well, you know, I would like to reach out to more people other than just through my website. I know there's thousands and thousands of people out there having the same problems, but yet, of course, they don't know where to find me. So so just another avenue to get the word out, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's it really is important. And I had a tough childhood also and have worked as a psychotherapist for coming up on my 44th year now. And I find it's really helpful, and we'll talk about that more. It's really helpful that I went through all that stuff because it helps me to help others better.
So, you know, I was just going to say I agree with that 100% because the best therapists, the best readers, the best social workers are the ones that actually have firsthand experience.
Yeah, there's no substitute. I was going to tell you that I married when I was 19 and you met Mark when you were 15, went away from home with him when you were 17. Mm-hmm. And my marriage lasted only 11 years and we discovered that we were really very different, but we hadn't been able to see that when we first got together. And as you point out, these early marriages really shaping people. And it often can keep you from seeing yourself clearly or from being strong enough so that you put up with things. And it seemed to me that that's a lot of what happened to you also, that you weren't strong enough. You had to develop strength, including like having to put your firstborn child up for adoption. That wasn't your choice, but you weren't strong enough not to be pressured into that. Talk about what that did for you in the course of your life, that you started out on an adult relationship so young, a so-called
adult
one thing
I did notice is that when you commit so early in life like that, well, firstly, you're so impressionable too. I don't want to say the word naive, but that's the closest I can come to. And so again, the impression, you know, is so impressionable. But what did it do for me? One thing I'd have to say, and on a negative light, is that when you commit so early too, like that, you tend to miss out on a lot of learning experiences that you would normally have if you weren't committed. So, you know, you see those the late teens and the early 20s, you're out, you know, enjoying life with your friends, you're exploring, having wonderful experiences. You don't get that at that point. You're committed. In my case, I was a mother very early. My second child, I was 20. So I missed out on a lot. So in later years, you tend to actually yearn for what you know that you missed.
Okay, so you spent 14 years, actually, in your marriage, and you were physically, emotionally, financially, verbally, and sexually abused in that relationship. And what I have found, I was sexually abused and financially abused and physically abused in my childhood. And what I have found, and I wanted to ask you about this, is that people who haven't been through something like that can't understand why you put up with it. I remember talking with my husband about some things that I went through, and he would say, "Oh, well, I would have just done this." And I said to him, "Well, I didn't even think of it. It wasn't even in my worldview. You know, you don't understand how much you don't have when you're in an abusive situation like that."
Oh, my God. It's so funny you mentioned that, because I was just thinking that earlier today when I was preparing for the show. Well, firstly, your energy feels so much like me. It's unreal. But I had the same thing with my husband, but he actually made me quite angry, because he goes, "It's so stupid. People are so stupid to stay in such a toxic relationship."
Uh-huh.
And I lost my mind on him. I go, "It's not that it's stupidity. It's fear, too." There's a lot of fear. And what happens, again, like I said earlier about the fear, it's one of the worst, the biggest blocks to any of our successes, our true viewpoints of ourselves, so that, you know, it feeds into negative self-talk, negative belief patterns. Fear overshadows everything. And when you have that profound fear in you, nothing else matters. Nothing else exists.
And I found that it was a lot, the fear that I had was a lot the fear of being alone, of of facing life on my own. Was that true for you also?
Oh, definitely. It was fear of being alone, fear of no one wanting to get involved with a person that has kids, a fear of failure, a fear of not making it financially. Oh, yeah, big time, big time.
A fear of making the same mistakes over again, too.
Oh, my God, yes. I remember when I, you know, got married, my second marriage, the wedding reception, just after supper, the room started to spin.
Oh.
And I'm going, oh, my God, what is this? I was starting to feel sick, but it was anxiety.
Uh-huh.
And then it hit me, and I'm going, oh, my God, what did I just do? I hope I didn't make the same mistake.
Well, I went on to subsequent marriages too, and it wasn't half bad as your book too, does also. And I just want to appreciate you for you really laid it out there what you went through and were your very real self. What were the factors? And I know you talk about this in your book, but what would you say are the main factors that allowed you to finally get free of that abusive relationship with your kids?
Well, the first thing is, enough is enough. You do reach a point where enough is enough. There were times where I'd be laying in bed at night crying, just full-blown crying, praying to my late grandmother, please help me, someone come save me, get me out of here. I was so unhappy. And that's the first thing, is that you have to choose happiness. Happiness is a choice. And when you're in a toxic relationship like that, and you're, you know, you're having to walk on eggshells every day, you know, worrying about this and that and the other thing, whatever the guy's going to do to you, or the woman for that matter, that's not happiness. So that's the first thing that I had to do, is I had to choose happiness. The second thing was that I had to conquer my fears, whatever those fears were. I could not let them stand in my way. And the thing is, one thing that to help conquer those fears is to realize that part of the problem with fears is that it comes from the negative self-talk. But negative self-talk I learned was that it's actually like those thoughts and beliefs that you have, whether, oh, you're not good enough, oh, I'm going to fail, or whatever the negative self-talk is, that actually is not even your own thoughts. Those thoughts are somebody else's that were put there in your mind. Because if you think about it, you didn't always feel that way.
That's so, really true. Yeah.
So once you come to that realization, then that gives you strength and determination of which you need to move forward, to move towards that happiness. And then basically the third thing was to trust. Trust yourself, trust the inner guidance that you receive, because boy, did I ever get a lot of that. And I trusted without question. I just followed through with what my intuition was telling me, what divine was telling me, and I just did it. And didn't look back. That's the other thing. You can't look back. If you want that happiness, then let go and move towards it.
Those are really some wonderful things. I just want to comment. I'm really glad you pointed out, you did it very quickly, that men are not the only abusers. I think that's really important. There have been studies that show that women abuse at approximately the same proportion as men, you know, if they're, if 50% of men abuse, then 50% of women also abuse. And that's important for us to know and to mention, because the bottom line is anybody can be a victim of abuse. And I think it's a really good thing to keep in mind. I also will tell you, Lisa, since I've had to work a lot, that's what drew me to emotions. I had to work a lot with the emotions that came up from my my own childhood experiences, is that I developed a technique for dealing with fear that I think ties in with a big part of your message in the book, tying into something larger than yourself. Mm-hmm. When I turned 50, I thought, geez, I've been afraid my whole life, and I'd really like to stop. And here I am, a psychotherapist, and I can't figure out what to do about fear, so I put my mind to it. And I realized that there are opposites on the earth, you know, like light and dark and hard and soft. So what's the opposite of fear? And what I came up with is that the opposite of fear, for me anyway, is faith, or you could call it trust, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can't be in light and dark at the same time, and you can't be in fear or faith at the same time. So I then investigated, how, if I'm afraid, how do I move myself into faith or trust? And I called on the divine. I said, what if I had a written guarantee from God that everything was going to turn out and I would be okay? What would I be paying attention to? What actions would I take? What decisions would I make? And to the best of my ability, like you were saying, trust without question, I did those things. And I started doing that. I'm 73 now, so I started doing it 23 years ago. And it is amazing how fearless my life has been since I started doing that.
Right. And what's equally as amazing is how a lot of people call it synchronicity, how a lot of synchronicities start to occur in your life so flawlessly, so effortlessly, like you get propelled big time. It's almost like, you know, Star Trek, and they put on those propulsion engines and zoom, you're zooming forward. And it's all about, as you said, learning to trust that divine guidance and follow through on it. I mean, there were so many times, I didn't mention this in my book, but there were many times where, you know, I was praying for that divine help to get out of the relationship. Well, do you know how many times, looking back, I was actually given that door of opportunity, but never took it because of the fear.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, you know, this is my take on it. What tends to happen is, well, in my case, like there's a part in my book that says, you know, create change before divine steps in and actually forces you.
Yes, yes.
And that's essentially what happened to me. It's like I was ignoring all of the help that I was actually getting because of the fear. So then it's like divine gets upset and really disappointed and frustrated and says, okay, damn you, we're going to do this, and then if you don't take this opportunity, then look out, because that's probably going to be the end of it for you. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, when that happens, it's a lot worse of a situation than had it been if you'd actually listened to the prior doors that you were given.
Exactly, exactly, yes.
But once you listen, though, like I said, watch the synchronicity. Just it's phenomenal what happens.
Right. The way that I've learned to understand that is that our Earth is a giant school. You talk about this, that we're all here learning. And we have our lessons. They come up in our life experiences. And if we don't learn them, they just repeat and repeat. And each time they get worse. They get harsher.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, like you're saying, the second you learn them, you move on and you start having these synchronicities. I guess we could say that the synchronicities are out there all along. We are just not making ourselves available to them.
Or we're refusing, like I did. refusing to, plain as day, there were opportunities for me to leave the relationship, and I knew what they were. But again, like I said, it's a fear. The fear blocked me, and I refused to actually move forward. I refused to take that help.
So
it's, you know, it's like, well, why ask for help if you're not going to take it?
That's right. So I know you called on your inner guidance a lot, and you address the question in your book of how the heck you could have been tuning into your inner guidance when you were in such a chaotic life. And I want to talk about that right after we have our break. My guest today is the author of Finding Paradise After the Storm, Lisa Kazza. Possible to find a good relationship with a very loving, supportive person even after years of living in an abusive relationship? Well, we're going to ask Lisa about that when we return here on Full Power Living.
Difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. You know, my understanding is that emotions have been given to us as tools to help us navigate our lives. So learning to listen to them and be in charge of them is key to living a good and full life. I invite you to go now to emotionalpro.com, the Emotional Pro homepage, and get your copy of my free list of the signals of 7 everyday emotions. They can help you immediately to start moving toward mastery over the emotions that come up in your life. And while you're there, sign up to be on our mailing list so we can send you our bi-weekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, the wonderful Carolyn Hobbs, who's author of Free Yourself, returns to Full Power Living to talk with us about forgiveness, which is another key to living a good, balanced, and full life. So be here at 9 a.m. Pacific time, that's noon on Eastern time, next Thursday. And thank you, too, for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through understanding the importance, mastery, and power of human emotions. I'm talking today with Lisa Kazza, who is author of Finding Paradise After the Storm. And Lisa, one of the things we were addressing right before the break was you actually, now you had some clairaudience and clairsentience and clairvoyance since you were a child, but you actually developed those skills and became a full clairvoyant medium during the time that you were in this chaotic and abusive relationship and raising, giving birth and raising children. And the big question is, how the heck did you do that?
Well, I guess every person is different. But for me personally, the way I look at it was, well, I believe that it's because I never really had unconditional love, you know, whether it was from my parents or my husband at the time or anything like that. So once I started meditations and visualizations to meet my spirit guides, that was the first time that I ever experienced such profound unconditional love.
Wow.
And so that was an incentive, I guess you could say, where I would actually connect and meditate on a daily basis just so I could be in that, surrounded in that love and the light. And the thing is, this is a basic psychic principle, is that the more that you meditate and visualize and meet with your guides, well, automatically the more that your abilities actually grow. At the time, I didn't know that. I didn't know that's what I was doing. But that's ultimately how I grew. And I was so incessant on it. Sometimes it would be like twice a day I would be meditating and speaking with my guides. So that was the biggest thing. But then, of course, there was, I would also use gemstones, because gemstones have very, very powerful metaphysical properties that enhances growth. So I did that, as well as use a lot of essential oils like sandalwood and things like that, just to help me, especially when I first started professional reading online. I felt that I needed that as a bit of a crutch, but as it turned out, I actually didn't. But that's essentially what it was that I, the unconditional love, that was the main thing that really propelled me forward, the catalyst, so to speak.
Isn't that wonderful? After all of that, you were able to find essentially a pure source of unconditional love. That's really, really great. So all of these factors came together. And I just wanted to mention that in your book, Finding Paradise After the Storm, you actually have 3 or 4 pages of the meditation process for connecting with your guides. For those of you who are listening, it's a really wonderful resource, a really wonderful support to you in doing that. So, Lisa, you got free. Your guidance suggested you go north in Canada. So you went 8 hours away, and talk about synchronicity. At that moment, you had some money, so you were able to purchase a home for yourself and your children outright, albeit a very old and dilapidated home. But you eked out a living for your children and yourself, and started making your next life, if you will, or the next big chapter in your life. Tell us about that.
The first thing was very scary.
Yeah. Just
always scary. And it was also, I'll admit it, was also very tiring. There were times where, well, there was this one time I came extremely close to returning to the X because I got so tired and frustrated, tired of struggling financially, tired of being the main decision maker in the household, tired of having to deal with things that went wrong, like my furnace blew, different things like that. And it's, you know, the first year, first year, year and a half, it was really, really hard. But again, it comes down to that choice of happiness. Hey, I wanted freedom. I wanted independence. I wanted my happiness. I've got it. So I've got to keep going, do what needs to be done, and that's it. That's all. And so once I got through, again, the fear and the tiredness, well, again, like you have to rely on your inner guidance, follow through with it, don't question it. And that's what I did. That's ultimately what got me through, was that some things I do still question, I don't have answers to yet, but I'm sure they'll come to me later on in life when I'm ready for them. But it was a real trying time. I won't hide that.
Right.
But again, it comes to willpower. It comes to determination. And again, wanting that happiness for yourself.
Right. And I lived as a single parent for 20 years in California with no backup from my family. Very similar, but and I lived in a little old house, you know, a little old one that had some land around it. It was really a wonderful place, turned out, to raise children. But that, you know, I came to the conclusion that that's what I needed in order to build the strength inside of myself to let myself know that whatever I needed to do, I could do it. And I was grateful for having my two children because they helped motivate me. I wanted better for them.
Oh, exactly. 100% agree.
Yeah.
That's, I think that they were, me too, a big motivator. That's what ultimately made me go to college too, for social work. I wanted to be a better role model, not just a better provider, but a better role model, somebody to for my children to look up to and to, you know, follow in my footsteps, to be proud of.
Uh-huh.
Children are huge motivators, and that's one thing, on one hand, I can understand it because of fear, but on another hand, I can't understand it when people say, oh, I'm holding on to a toxic marriage because of the kids. No.
Right.
Because actually, you know, being in a relationship like that actually causes much more harm to the kids than what they realize.
Yes, you're just teaching your children how to function in a toxic marriage. Great.
Exactly.
Right. All right. So I want to emphasize here what you did when you moved out. You went up to Iroquois Falls in Canada, and you worked as a psychic on a psychic hotline. And when you went to school, you got a loan to enable you to do so, but you had to really assert yourself because initially you were turned down for that.
Right.
You got yourself a horse. Mm-hmm. You made a really good friend, and eventually you married your husband. Does he say his name Marshall?
Martial. He's French.
Martial. Oh, the French. Of course, I should have remembered that. And this is a lot to go together. It's like, it's almost like, you know, when the ferry boat turns around, it backs up and then it very slowly turns around. But once it starts going, it goes with full steam. This is
mm-hmm.
sort of what your life looks like to me right there.
Yeah. And a lot of synchronicities too.
Right.
But one thing led to the other. I went to school. That's where I met that friend that you mentioned. That friend in turn led me to my horse. The horse in turn led me to my husband.
Right.
one thing after the other. And what was really, I find is funny, like we laugh about it to this day, is that I had actually met him my
uh-huh.
first year here. It was Canada Day. It's like 4th of July in the States, but Canada Day.
Uh-huh.
And he would always take the horses up to the park. The park is just up the street from my house. And so he was up there taking kids around on his horses. And that was the first time I had actually met him. And then 2.5 years later, well, we're dating. But it's all about the synchronicities were unreal. And that's why I wanted to make sure that I did put in life, you know, during and then afterwards,
mm-hmm.
to show, like, once you apply yourself, choose the happiness, let go of the fear, follow your intuition, which is a huge one. I can't emphasize that enough. You do mm-hmm. that and watch the synchronicities. It's amazing how far you go along your life path and how so much happier and brighter things actually are. Like, you ultimately
right.
get led to a much happier and brighter future than what you were even envisioning in the beginning.
Right, right. It is amazing. I know that when you met him, that was one of the places where you could have paid more attention because you had a feeling reaction to being around him.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's really important for us to realize that we're given clues or invitations, and we don't always notice them. I was surprised when I married my husband in 1998. We put together that when he and his first wife rented a home in Berkeley in 1968. Their landlady was my boss in the job that I was working in.
Oh, wow.
We were that close together, and I didn't meet him until after his wife had passed away. And what was that? Nearly 30 years later.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Now we're edging up here on what you learned to call divine sequential order, aren't we?
Yeah, the divine life purpose sequential order. Yeah. That's about the synchronicities and how everything happens for a reason. Even though we may have conscious reasons, like for example, in my book I said I had a conscious reason for moving this far north. One, it was to get as far away as possible from my ex. But two, it was because of the price of the house. The price was right. But there are always more divine reasons behind everything. And again, one thing leads to another. Always. It's like a domino effect. That's sequential order means.
And I think it's important, and you emphasize this in the book too, it's not just the good things that create this divine life purpose sequential order. It's everything. It's the what we might call the good and the bad, using various forces to urge us to go in particular directions or to discover things or to develop ourselves. Would you say?
Oh, my God, yes. Like and the thing is, you take just one, let's say, for example, I'll take myself as an example. I think I mentioned this in my book. I can't remember. I never knew my biological father, not until after my twin girls were born. So I was 24 before I finally found him. Well, had I known my father, had he been in my life and raised me, well, one, I wouldn't have gone with my ex. He would not have allowed it because he, too, is quite the feisty Frenchman. So he wouldn't have allowed that at all. But also, psychologically speaking, with my psychology training, I do realize that back then, being 15, not having that father, I was looking for a father figure. And so because my ex, I guess the listeners don't realize, my ex-husband was 22 years older than me. So
yes.
if I took that out, just that one thing, I wouldn't be where I am today. And that goes with anything, any event, whether negative or positive. You take that out, well, you're not going to be where you are today. You're going to be in a very different spot, could be with very different people. We're exactly where we're supposed to be at this moment in time, and it's because of the sequential order of our life paths.
Yes. You remind me, when I was 32, I dated a man who actually was the widower of my mentor, a woman who had mentored me when I was in my early 20s. And he was exactly twice my age. He was 64. And I realized after I was involved with him, he was very good to me, very cool man. I enjoyed him. He was actually helping to heal the injury that I had, who was my primary sexual molester. And that was such a wonderful gift. I mean, you don't know these things. Maybe you couldn't explain. Somebody says, well, why are you dating someone at your age? Well, it could be because you have lessons to learn. It could be for healing, all kinds of things. And you may not know it right at the time.
Right. It's always in hindsight. When you look back, that's one thing I tell my clients, to look back on your life and reflect over the certain things that actually trouble you, whether it's not understanding a certain relationship and the experiences that you had, even downright to child abuse that we had gone through. I hate saying it, but yes, there are reasons behind that, whatever they are. But a lot of reflection later on down the road, when you're ready, that's what I found too, is that when you're ready to understand what yes. the lessons were. It'll come to you.
And what I was led to, now I had a good friend who was a medium who helped me through many of my issues as I was a single parent. And she pointed out to me, I went to her one time and said, well, I've healed a lot of stuff, but all I have to do is think about what to me and I'm angry all over again and I'm tired of being angry. And she mm-hmm. said, as long as you think of yourself as a victim, you will do this. And that what you need to do is to go back to those experiences and identify the lesson and be grateful for the lesson, because the lesson is something, as a soul, you asked for yourself.
That's right.
And that worked just miracles for me.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But the other thing, too, I believe that goes hand in hand with that, to help let go of the anger. Once you come to that realization about the lessons, the next step right after that is letting go and forgiving.
Amen.
And,
let's talk.
You know, it's not, you know, forgiving is not condoning, but, you know, it's more for yourself than the other person, because the more that you hold on to the anger, well, you're just ultimately hurting yourself. So you let go.
I agree. Yeah.
Take the lessons learned, leave the rest, and then move on. Don't look back. That's one thing I say too in my book, is that it's a lot like driving a vehicle. If you're always constantly looking in that rear view mirror, while you're either one going to get into a head on collision, or you're going to miss an exit somewhere, or something like that.
Right.
You're driving a vehicle, you just can't keep looking in the rearview mirror. So stop looking in that rearview mirror. Look forward, look ahead, so that you can see what's up ahead of you, what's coming up in front of you.
Yes, that's really great. So we're up to our second break. I'm talking today with Lisa Kazza, who's author of Finding Paradise After the Storm, about how she lived through and then grew past a toxic relationship and marriage and moved into the relationship and marriage of her dreams. More on what you can do to make a similar move when we return here on Full Power Living.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, 4 things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives, as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar.
I'm talking with Lisa Kazza, and you can find her at lisacazza.com, LISACAZA.com. She's an author and psychic medium, and she's talking with me about relationships and our connection with the divine and how to move your life forward no matter what your circumstances. So, Lisa, you have advice in your book that in the latter part of your book, some of which I just wanted to highlight. First of all, if you're feeling stuck in a relationship that isn't good for us, we have to take the first steps. Is that right?
That's very correct. No one's going to take that step for us. Like I'd mentioned in my book too, it was like I was sitting there waiting, praying for someone to come and save me. A physical being, I guess, I don't know. But ultimately speaking, we're the only ones that can create change for ourselves. If we want change, then we have to take the action. We can't sit around and idly wait for miracles, like I say in my book. We got to take the action.
And however, another point you do make in your book, and I've learned that also, is that the universe doesn't really step in and give help unless you ask for it.
That's right. But like I said earlier, if you're not going, let's say, like me, how many times did I actually ignore the help that divine was actually trying to give me, all because of fear? If you're not going to take the help when it's given to you, then don't ask for it. I'm just being, there's my bluntness for you. but yes, you do have to ask for it. And the reason for that is because ultimately our spirit guides and our angels and divine tries to allow us the free will and the ability to learn our lessons on our own, to progress on our own.
Right.
But when we feel really, really stuck or in need that help and guidance, it's there.
Uh-huh.
You just have to ask for it. But they're not just going to come in and interfere without you asking. It's the one of the number one universal laws.
Another thing that you talk about is ego, and a lot of people are talking about ego these days. You describe ego as, at least in part, as what in ourselves tells us what we can and can't do. And you point out that each of us can do anything that we set our mind and heart to. And I thought that was a really great point.
Well, it's true, though, because if you have the belief that divine and the universe is infinite, this is a truth that we all know. If you also believe that we are part of that divine source and the universe, well, then that goes hand in hand with what I just said. Now, if we're a part of divine, and divine is eternal and infinite, well, then that makes us eternal and infinite and unrestricted. So why would you restrict our natural way of being? If we're not restricted by nature, then why restrict? That's
yes.
the point that I try to make. So
yes.
Ultimately, we're not restricted. We can do anything. Anything.
That's really great. You also suggest putting what are often called negative emotions to work in helping us develop the determination to make change.
Mm-hmm.
And it is my learning that anger can, at least when we're making change, it really can motivate us and support us to change. And in large part, it helps us to see what we don't want, which then opens us up to seeing what we do want.
Exactly. But the thing is, I wouldn't really concentrate on anger as much, because with anger, it does have a slight karmic tie, if you want to call it that. Like with vengefulness, like could be a vengefulness mm-hmm. in there. It depends on the type of anger. So I need to make that clear to listeners. There's different types of anger. And if you feel that there's this vengefulness or spite, that kind of thing mixed in with the anger, that's not a good thing, because, again, that creates something of a karmic tie to that person who you believe has wronged you. And as a result of that, you're not, unfortunately, going to get as great of a result if it were
mm-hmm.
Just plain anger or whatnot. It's you got to be very careful with that. But what I recommend is to remember what you went through as
mm-hmm.
motivators. Put yourself literally back in those moments. How did you feel in those moments? You were scared, intimidated, whatever the emotions were, feel those emotions in those, that moment of whatever experience that you're remembering.
Mm-hmm.
And use that and say, I don't want to feel like that again.
That's a really good piece of advice. And over time, I have found, actually, that making a firm decision, and I know you did this also, making a firm decision is as powerful, if not more powerful, than following any so-called negative emotion. If you just make the decision, this is my intention, this is what I'm going to do for myself, that is strong enough to help you get there.
Well, I wouldn't say that not completely strong enough, because some people have such deeply ingrained negative self-talk that they tend to backfire on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I do recommend using the more negative emotions, the negative memories, to fuel that fire even more. Get it blazing. Instead of having just little embers there, get it blazing with those emotions.
What you're really doing is building a fire under your own behind, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to burn that fear away too, because
mm-hmm.
it goes hand in hand with that. When you get that determination, that level of determination, well, the fear tends to dissipate.
Right.
And then you also grow in terms of your self-assessment, I'll call it. You know, people think so negatively about themselves, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, guess what? Yes, you can, but you just did whatever. So once you start seeing the progress that you're making, that too, I should point that out. Look at the progress that you have made, not that you, mm-hmm. what you haven't made.
Yes, good. Well, you'll see at the sign-off here, our watchword is pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become. So we're totally in. You also make a point, which I find interesting, that when we're in a relationship, no matter what it's like, it changes us and the other person in the relationship. And I thought I would ask you, how has being in the relationship with your second husband changed you?
It changed me big time, where I don't have as much negative self-talk anymore. It's taught me to stand up for my beliefs and what I believe in, my thoughts. It's taught me more open and honest communication, because being in a toxic relationship, or even, you know, childhood abuse, we've been conditioned to keep our mouths shut no matter what, you know.
Right.
And then so, of course, see, that gets so deeply ingrained in us that we fear the consequences. You know, heaven forbid that we open our mouths and state how we feel or think.
Mm-hmm.
So he's taught me a lot of that, and he has also taught me that I finally found that unconditional love. He loves me no matter, and I'm getting ready to cry, because he loves me and supports me in everything that I do. He doesn't tell me what to do, and fully supports my work, fully supports my emotions and my desires and my goals, and that was a huge thing that's changed me. And the thing is, what I've learned too is that you can't teach other people certain concepts like unconditional love or acceptance or any other kind of concepts until you've experienced it yourself. So he's really actually propelled my, teaching
mm-hmm.
others, because
mm-hmm.
now I know how unconditional love feels. Now I know how support feels. And I can teach about that now instead of just yearning for it and talking about it.
And you have some inside of yourself to give to others. I've found that if I don't have some inside of myself, I can't give it either. So
that's
beautiful. I love that answer. So part of what you do now is you help people understand the relationship situations they're in and what they may need to change and help encourage them to go for what they want in relationship. Is that accurate?
Well, it's part of it, but it's also a huger, is that a word? I guess it is in my vocabulary today. A bigger part of my job, I guess you could say, is actually trying to help people find that very special someone in their life. That's the major thing that I've been coming up with for the last, I'll say, 5 years. And why that is, I'm not sure. Maybe it's due to the spiritual awakening that's going on. I'm not sure. But that seems to be the main thing. It's not necessarily how to progress the relationship. Like, yes, I do that, but it's mainly to help people find that relationship
mm-hmm.
first. And
the number one
piece of advice that I have, and I put this in my book, it's the one of the most important things that you could possibly do, is to love yourself. As the saying goes, you can't love another until you first love yourself. But what I mean by that is, you know, nurture yourself and your interests, your hobbies, your goals. That kind of thing. Pursue them. Whatever your general activities are, pursue them. Do not restrict yourself. Again, we're unrestricted by nature, so don't restrict yourself. As you nurture yourself and the spiritual and emotional aspect of being, you automatically open up what's called the heart center or the heart chakra, and that's ultimately where we send and receive love in our lives. And of course, love comes in any form. And you can do this to progress in any area of life, whether it's relationships, career, money, it doesn't matter. It's the same principle. The more love you put out, the more that you attract. But the way to do that is to first actually nurture yourself. So pursue your hobbies, like I say. So for me, it was many things. It was I put myself through college. Look at the synchronicities that happened there. And then I, you know, got my horses back again. I pursued that, and then look where it was taking me.
Mm-hmm.
You pursue those goals, the interests, all general activities, that kind of thing. You automatically open up that heart center, and you attract more love in your life. You surround yourself with people of like mind and interest. And once you do that, more doors of opportunity will open up for you. Going back to our earlier conversation, take those doors of opportunity when they're presented to you.
That's great.
That's how I got to where I am today with my husband. I just took the opportunities, pursued my interests, nurtured myself.
That's a wonderful, wonderful place to end. Thank you for that enormous amount of wisdom. Thank you. Well, I really related, as you know, to the story of your life and the things that you've learned. And I'm very grateful to you for writing your book, Finding Paradise After the Storm. I know your book's available on Amazon.com, and your website is lisacaza.com, LISACAZA. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us here on Full Power Living today. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, well, Eileen, I can say the exact same thing. It was a true honor and pleasure to be on today. I really enjoyed our talk today.
Good, good. Come back when you write your next book.
Yeah. I'm not sure when that will be, but...
Okay, so join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time or noon Eastern for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. And we'll be following up with some of the things we talked about today when I talk with Carolyn Hobbs next Thursday on forgiveness. And I know that a lot of people have been waiting for Carolyn to come back to Full Power Living. So come back on Thursday next week and listen to our conversation on forgiveness. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media, our wonderful producer. Thank you, Paul. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become. Thank you.
Living with Eileen Dillon.